Hey people, thank you so much for tuning in to another great episode of We Got Issues. This is Journey with Roman, and you know, we're back here again. Gosh, I can't believe there are 3 episodes we've done already. How amazing is that, right? So today we have a lot to talk about. You know, we want to talk about, you know, Kenneth Petty, who's Nicki Minaj's husband, who requested to be present for the birth of Nicki Minaj. What the fuck? For Nicki Minaj's birth. Also, I want to touch on Ellen DeGeneres again. She recently issued an apology due to the controversy around the workplace situation. Also, we want to just touch on some other things like the Beirut bombing. That's so sad. So I want to talk about that. And tying in with that, also, we want to talk about this guy who narrowly escaped the death penalty for the Manhattan bombing. I don't know if you guys remember that bombing that happened in Boston in 2013. So I want to touch on that as well. So just, you know, continue to stick with me. I'll, you know, take a short break, and then I will be joined with my friends Shannon and Shane. Love you guys. Be back with you shortly. Always the early bird, Shane. And
Shane is early today. Shane is early today. Much better than last week. Give him back.
Shut up. Stop going, Shane.
What's good, guys?
I'm good. Let's get into this. We're ready.
I'm not really hearing you, Shane. What's up?
Yeah. You hear me now?
Not really, no. The shade, honey.
Your service, or should I say your Wi-Fi?
Oh, we're hearing you better now.
Please do not try to judge my Wi-Fi, okay? Because at this point, it's way better than yours. Don't do it.
I'm not judging your Wi-Fi. I'm judging the lack thereof.
Hi, guys. Let's get into this. Robin, what's going on?
No problem. Nothing. I've already, you know, just really explained to the audience, you know, what's going on and what we're going to be talking about. So we want to kick this off by talking about the Nicki Minaj, Kenneth Petty situation. That's very interesting because recently Kenneth Petty did request the judge to give permission to be on site for the birth, Nicki Minaj's birth, and also to get privilege to travel. So the information stating that he got the permission from the judge. So when Nicki Minaj ready to give birth to her wonderful Nicki son, he will be there. And also, him can travel with her too. What I really understand is why he would not want to travel as her manager. So it's, apparently it's a situation where he's now going around as her manager, which is strange to me. What do you think?
Traveling as her manager is not really saying that he is her manager. He is just holding a title because that gives him more privilege to the judge or to whoever to get the restriction lifted from him. So they had to do something to make him look more professional and make him more like he is in a good working field. So they just gave him a title and said, okay, we're gonna pay you, basically. She's paying him to be there. So as all of Nicki's boyfriends have benefited from her. So it's nothing new.
I'm happy though. I'm happy that he's going to be able to be there for the birth, for Nicki Minaj, you know, birth, because as a father, Moonlight, you know, say, you know, my baby man ever give birth, me not did it for the birth, you know, me not sit at home, me not get to hold the baby, or whatever the case may be. I'm really glad that the judge granting petition so he can be there. So in that regard, I'm really happy for him.
Kudos to them. You sound like a barb.
That's the question. Of course, you know, it's not even about that. I'm just supporting, you know, looking at it from the side of a father, an expecting father. That's, you know, the perspective I'm looking at it from.
No, but
okay, Robbie, what were you saying, Jane?
What happens when the kids start school and all that? What is going to happen next?
Listen, when the bridge come to this, then we know how to cross it. We don't want to think about it. So we just want to think, say, the man picked me soon ban and him one daddy. And the judge grant him the permission to be there. That's what we are celebrating and talking about.
Okay, so we're going to flip over a little bit and we're going to get into this Ellen DeGeneres situation. Robin, what do you think about all of that?
Okay, so I'm following the situation very closely, as you guys know. And according to the Washington Post, she did make, you know, a statement. She sent out a staff letter, according to Entertainment Weekly. You know, she didn't really elaborate or corroborate any specific complaints that were listed. But what she did say, you know, a part of the letter is that, you know, she said that we are taking steps together to correct the issue. So in my mind, you know, we had talked about it in our meeting where we say, like, issuing out an apology could sometimes mean an admission of guilt that something really was going on. And I think sometimes when you are ahead of a company, there's a lot of things you may not necessarily see that's going on in the background. You know, you have people who work under you where, you know, and make certain decisions for you that you might not necessarily know about. And what she's saying is that some persons were misrepresenting her and creating this toxic environment that she really wasn't aware of. So in her apology, she basically is saying that, you know what, I'm going to review some stuff. Because, you know, it's going to be an internal investigation right now from Warner Brothers. So I'm going to, you know, just review some things and just make sure, say, the situation becomes better for the employees, fellow employees, in terms of race, intimidations, and those were some of the things listed. So it's still very murky because a lot of information is not yet forthcoming. But I kind of wish them all the best, because even though I'm not a big Ellen DeGeneres fan, you know, we understand what can sometimes go down when you are the TV show host, right? But with these machines, you may not necessarily know the day-to-day runnings of what's going on in the business, because even though you're the face of it, you're not the boss per se. A lot of things go down where you might not necessarily know about. So I hope them can fix it. And I wouldn't want to see the show fail because of it. So that's my take on it. I hope that they can work to, you know, resolve the situation and make sure so the employees who work underneath are feel comfortable in working and being in a more comfortable working environment.
Okay, that was a good take on that. Shane, what do you think? What's your opinion on all of this?
Honestly, I'm tired of a white person being the whole target thing right now. It's annoying. Like, every minute, oh, me too. Oh my God.
Shane, you're low again.
I'm saying that this Me Too thing is very annoying. Everybody pops up and be like, yes, I'm in the same boat, I had the same problems, blah 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 blah. It's just not necessary sometimes. Yes, she
can I interject I'm sorry, but can I interject, please? Do not confuse the Me Too movement with what's going on. This has nothing to do with the Me Too movement. The Me Too movement was
specific. No, I'm not saying it's the same. I'm not saying it is the Me Too movement. I'm saying it's no better than the people who
make use that as all well.
Allegations when it comes to Me Too, Me Too, because there's a lot of people that made some false allegations and had to take it back.
You cannot do that. So, you cannot use the Me Too movement.
I'm not
to
using
say,
the Me Too movement. I'm making reference to it. The Me Too movement is a whole different kettle of fish. But I'm saying it is no different than the people who cry wolf in the Me Too movement.
It would be better if you say this cancel era that we're living in right now, where persons are basically trying to cancel Ellen DeGeneres.
That was my opinion, not yours. So,
I mean, that's why we're here, right? We're here to talk about it. Using a music tool situation.
Basically, what I got from him is that everybody is trying to do the Me Too thing. Like, hold on, I say something, then you follow, and then somebody else wants to follow. That's basically what he was saying. He's not saying that, okay, the Me Too movement is what we are trying to say, we got raped or whatever the situation is. That's just what I got from what he's saying. And that's his opinion. We can't take that from him. What I'm saying is, I remember a report that came out after her entire trying to apologize situation. She was saying that she thought that Hollywood, the persons of Hollywood, or Hollywood would come out and support her more and know that most of this stuff isn't true or whatever. A few Hollywood stars did come out and apologize and try to defend her and said that they got all good stuff happening when they visit her show and whatever, whatever. And they face a whole lot of backlash coming up and supporting her. I think that, listen, if you are going to come out and support me and I have to ask you to come out and support me, that support isn't genuine. That means I am asking you to come out and help me to back me up on a lie I'm trying to tell. So yes, I agree. There's something wrong and people are shedding light on what is wrong with her show and a lot of people are not happy with that. That's all. Everybody has their right to come out and say what happened to them and what they did not like about what happened to them. Everybody has their right to do that. You can't tell anybody, guess what? Because what happened to you is not big enough to be an entire situation. It means it's not a situation. Everybody's entitled to their feelings and their opinions and how they want to be or what the situation is for them. We cannot come out and say, okay, we can't tell you. That is not worthy for you to be complaining about. No, you can't do that. Because I cannot tell you how to feel, so you cannot tell me how to feel. And that's how I look at it.
Exactly.
Okay. I don't understand. Me get what you're saying. I must say, though, your audio is ocean, and I'm hearing a lot of echoing. Are you guys hearing it?
Yes, I'm hearing
it. We're echoing. So if you want to try this again, like go and drop off and call us back.
It's not a call, guys.
Whatever.
All right, so we're going to take this.
Hi, Robin. I guess we're waiting on Shane. Shane, you're hearing me?
Yes, I'm hearing you.
I'm not hearing Robin.
Oh, I'm here.
Oh. All right, guys. We're back at it again. And we are going to go jump right into it. And Shane, Black is King. I started that last week. And I feel like I'm handing over the baton to you so you can carry it with pride. So let us
know. First of all, let me say I am not a beehive.
Oh my God.
Let me finish. I'm not a beehive, so my review will be completely unbiased.
Listen, you know what, friend? You said that many years.
No one was talking to you. You will sit there and listen.
Go ahead, Shane. Go ahead. We're waiting.
But what I'm gonna say about it, it was very much visually stunning. I must say, well done. I may not have liked her dancing, but the dancing from the groups and the African artists. The one from Guyana, I know some of the songs, so it was like, oh wow, I kind of like it. I actually wanted to hate it, but I couldn't, I must say. I like the story. I don't know if the story is accurate, but I like the story. But when I...
What are you talking about? You don't know if the story is accurate. What is that supposed to mean?
Robin, allow him to finish and then we can chime in. Go ahead, Shane.
I was doing some reviews, and while some Africans are supporting this visually stunning movie/album, there were a lot of people who were against it. First of all, because African culture is very vast. It's not only one tribe, and then people are calling it like a Wakanda forever bullshit necessarily, like a ripoff. And I was like, I can understand their point. I do understand their point. But overall, I couldn't hate it, nor am I for it necessarily, because I don't know African culture and I do not want to say, oh wait, this video basically showed me into the arms of what African culture was or is or whatever. But overall, if I was supposed to grade it, I would say like probably 9 out of 10. I liked it. I really did like it. But a lot of people are not for it.
Robin, go ahead now.
I'm sure.
Oh my God, I am so aggravated. I'm so aggravated by everything that Shane has said, because first of all, let me just pick apart what you say about person talking about, oh, this is a Wakanda ripoff situation. I disagree completely, 100%. I feel like person's perception of the film, it's not a video, okay, it is a film that was produced by Parkwood Production that is owned by Beyonce. Disney Plus bought it from Parkwood Productions. So let me just state that this was written, produced, and directed and starred by Beyonce. Okay, so let me just make that very clear. All right, so this is not a video, it's a film by Beyonce. Also, I was saying that I feel like persons' perception were misguided, because yes, I completely understand that Africa is very vast and very rich in culture and, you know, ancestry. But I think for the purpose of the film, you know, she specifically chosen certain African traditions and themes and ancestry that was correlating and cohesive to the actual story. Now, we're talking about The Lion King, right? That was the purpose of the album, Black is King. It was The Lion King. And basically what Beyoncé did was she retold The Lion King, but from the perspective of actual African diaspora. You know what I mean? She said that Robin, one of the main reasons...
You're talking opinions and not facts, because you do not know if this was actually...
No. Let me finish. I allowed you to finish.
Okay.
So please... let me finish. All right. This is not opinions. This is straight facts. Okay. Now, one of the reasons why she did it the way that she did is, I don't know if you remember, you remember the song In the Jungle? In the Jungle, the Jungle. Right. That was actually a part of the animated movie, The Lion King, but the actual singer wasn't actually credited by Disney for that particular film. So that actually inspired Beyoncé to actually do this and recreate it from the eyes of actual Africans and not from the eyes of animals. And if you watch the film, you will see that the story unfold using African ancestry. Now, I don't have time to really get into all symbolism and the visuals and the connection to astronomy, nature, and religion that we, our African ancestors, were so, you know, cohesively attached to. Because if we were to talk about all of that, the symbolism, the traditions, everything about it, then we would basically run out of time. But all I can say is she did her research. It was properly done. It was, to me, a love letter to African and where we came from, and to acknowledge that we are all kings and queens. Our race, to me, is definitely superior. And I feel like that was the purpose of what Beyoncé was trying to achieve with this particular film. And I just feel like... how I feel like the Africans should, I won't say they should be outraged, but I feel like they should allow Beyoncé as an artist to appreciate her roots and where she's coming from. We're not talking about where Africa is right now. We're not talking about that, right? Because she said it in her film that sometimes we have to remember our history. Because if we don't remember history, where are we going to go? Like, our history guides us into the future. And if we can remember that, it always come back full circle. Always. So I feel like that is what she was doing. She was taking where we have come from, highlighting and appreciating it, so that the generation that we are, the generation that is now, can appreciate the level of, you know, the rich culture that we've had, and to take pride in our race and in our ancestry and our roots, and so that we can move forward being more confident in ourselves, and to, you know, realize that Black is in fact power, and that we, I would say, more superior than the Caucasians per se. That is my take on it. And watching the film, I was filled with so much pride. You know, I cried several moments in the film. It gave a good feeling.
Shane, you are... I think what Robin is trying to explain to you, what you're not trying to get, is that
we did have this discussion.
I don't think you do, though.
Letter.
I really don't think
what
you do.
What I'm saying is, you cannot understand where the Africans are staying, because first of all, you're talking about where this girl comes from. Please remember, this girl is part white. She's not only Black,
she's
part white. And you do have to remember that most Africans are very colorist.
She has
the fact
two,
that she is
she has
white is not going to accept her like that.
She's not part white. I don't know where you get that from.
Girl, this girl is she's part French and whatever Louisiana mix up she is. She is not all Black. She's not. As Africans are very colorist, they will tell you she's not totally African. They are very colorist. These are facts. They're very colorist.
So yes, Robin, in Louisiana, there were like people from other like Spain and all of them places. That's where from they colony, first came in. So they weren't all
black.
That's why most of the people them down there are lighter.
But what I'm saying,
and they're lighter.
That BNC,
but we
have the day. At the end of the day, no matter
but what I'm saying,
how much percentage,
like we don't like outside coming into our culture and doing certain things. Africans are not going to accept an American coming into their culture and doing certain things. So, what is it?
Go ahead, Robin. What were you saying?
I don't have time for you to argue with Shane, you know. I really don't have time for that.
All right, let me ask him one question. Did you approve of what's his name? Nick Cannon coming in and doing a whole dancehall segment. Were you here for it?
Listen.
No, I'm talking this is what yes I or no. Were you here for it? When an American comes into dancehall and basically do a whole entire segment, were you here for it?
When it is done appropriately,
I'm answering and the question. Not,
I cannot speak on that because I've never actually seen that Nick Cannon situation.
Then
but
we'll watch it and then we'll have that discussion. But what Africans are feeling or what majority of Africans are feeling is valid because it's their culture. She went into their culture. She didn't grow there. She doesn't have any full ties that no one knows of there. So whatever they're feeling is very valid.
So explain to me now. You have someone, right, who is, I don't care where you want to say our background come from, at the end of the day, she is still black. And she has this major platform where she's basically championing black rights and black culture and everything. And she has this big platform to highlight Africa, not as a commodity, but as an actual culture, as an actual country with people, with ancestry, with roots. And you're telling me that because she is doing that and highlighting that, then it's a problem?
All right, Robin, I need to speak. I need to speak. So this is what I'm getting from what both of y'all are saying, because this conversation will never end unless I get to say something to break the ice. So this is what I have. Robin, you will always stand on your 2 feet for that lady, and I respect you for that. Allow me to speak. I respect you for that. And I get what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. I understand what Shane is trying to say. Shane has a point. You have a point. But at the end of the day is we cannot tell people who are from there to feel how they want to feel. And guess what? I know about the whole Nick Cannon situation. And I did not respect that shit at all. Being totally honest. You know why I didn't respect what he did? And it's not him alone. Drake did it too. But guess what? Drake brought money and gave it away. So guess what? A lot of people weren't upset about what Drake did, but they were upset about what Nick Cannon did. You know why? Because Nick Cannon didn't bring money and give it to them down there. That's why Nick Cannon was the big issue. That was with Nick Cannon. But the whole issue is that several people did the same thing and got away with it because they brought money and goods and they gave it to them. That's the problem. If you're not feeding public, then they feel like it is not what they want from you. But not going into all of that. What Beyonce is doing and what she's been doing since she has been blooming and being a better person from what her father was, her first two albums. After that, everything after that up to this minute has been, to me, going for black people. She is a representative for my culture, your culture, and even your culture, Shane, if you don't see it. Maybe one day, we can't force you to see what we're seeing now, but maybe one day you will see what we are seeing. And I like what she's doing for us. I like what she represents for us. And I respect what she does for us. And I will look to her and see that what she's doing for my culture right now, I can respect that. And I will always respect that. I will respect, even if I don't, even if she does something to me tomorrow where I don't fucking like her and I don't respect her. But at the end of the day, I can say she did fight for me. One period, at one space in time, she did something good, and this is what happened. She, to me, she is doing what she thinks is necessary to do right now. That's how I look at it. So if the Africans are not comfortable, to me, okay, they're not comfortable. I'm not from Africa. There's a possibility I will never go to Africa. So I will not experience what she has experienced going to Africa. But I can say this. I am from Africa. My whole lineage is from there. I don't know what it is like because I've never been. But I feel what I feel when she puts it in a music video and shows it to me. That's how I feel. Like, I've been to Africa. I know what Africa is like. I've felt how Africa feels when I watch this film, and it is really, really fucking good to see that. So I am not gonna bash her. I'm not gonna tear her down. What she's doing is good, and keep doing what you're doing, Miss Beyonce. We are gonna move on, and when I move on, we are literally gonna move on. So Cardi B is teaming up with Megan Thee Stallion. A music video and a song will be dropped this Friday. What are we looking forward to seeing? I don't want to start with Robin. You are last on my list because I know you're
first of all
a Cardi fan. And Shane, you have nothing to say.
I mean, they're
nor, okay, then I'll say everything for me and you.
Nor or for either of them, so I have nothing.
Oh my God, you are missing out. You are literally missing out. I'm not a Barty gang, but I represent. I'm a mutual person.
That's such a lie. Such a fucking lie. But carry on.
I'm going to justify why I said what I said. And I stand on what I said when I said. Because guess what? Right. Anyways, I'm going to teach y'all something. I'm going to teach you something. You see, when you have children, they're not all the same. Every child have different mind, different mindset, different flow, different act. Everything is different about each child. So when you have a child that will fight and then come home and say, "Mom, I did not do anything," or throw stones and hide their hands, that's what Barbs are. They're children who throw stones in the pen and hide their hands. Nicki Minaj is the mother of all evil. Who, why I said that is she will go out. Shane has left the podcast. I don't know why. But Robin, you know this. Nicki Minaj is the mother of all fucking petty. Nicki will go out if she doesn't like you, fuck around with you and your bag, and pretend like she's never done anything towards you. So guess what? I'm not going to say anything else on that. But to me, I'm mutual. And being mutual means I stand on all 5 feet that I'm standing on right now. And yes, I said 5 because I have to make sure that all the children in the pen play well. Barty gang, they are a force to reckon with. They are small, but they are very much loud. And I can say this, I follow a few of the Barty gangs on my Twitter account, and I'm telling you, when they go out for the barbs, I love to sit down and watch the entire cat race, and I love to watch the fight, because guess what? When they go at each other, it's like, what they're fighting for makes no sense. What they're arguing about makes no sense, because the two female artists, they are pretty good at what they're doing. Nikki is doing it for the passion. Nikki loves to write, loves to sing, loves to rap. Nikki do it for the love. Cardi do it for the money. So they have two different outcomes. You cannot expect them to do the same. You are not going to expect them to be on one level. No, they're in two different lanes doing two different stuff. So I see it literally different. Megno. Putting Meg in all of that sauce is like saying yes. As Nikki put out a statement in Vanity Fair, Megan Thee Stallion is the fun side of everything. And I agree with her. Megan is educated, Megan is fun, and Megan comes and deals with everybody. Even the worst of the worst. Megan is always mutual. Megan has always been the fun person who goes into the room, talk to everybody, be cool with everybody, try to message with everybody. So if you put her in the sauce of remixes or just jumping on a track, you will never be disappointed with fun, savage, sexy, and literally crazy ass Megan Thee Stallion. And I was watching a video on Twitter today where Megan was, I don't know what happened, but there was a reporter at her school, in high school or something. And she was like, I represent for the nerds. And I feel that what you just said is not what is representing for the nerds. And there was this entire situation where they were dogging her out as Megan the Nerd. But it was so fun. Like, that's what we are used to. Megan the fun person. Yeah. Megan is not for the rivalry. Megan is not for the foolishness or whatever. So I don't know why the two sides are trying to split Megan between who she needs to work with and what she needs to do. 1501 is a part label of Atlantic. A lot of people don't know.
So do not want to go into the whole label situation of Megan Thee Stallion right now. What I'm expecting from WAP, because I am getting information that is the upcoming single, is called WAP. You know, people are also speculating that it might actually mean wet ass pussy. And the same person who produced Beacon Head is actually going to be the same person that, you know, produce WAP too. And from me here, say the same person will produce Beacon Head. You know, me know say be a pussy twerking, I go on, be a, you know, ass jiggling, you know, jump on table top, jump on head top, skin out, you know, all them something there. So that is the type of vibe that I'm expecting from that particular song. And we all know how Megan make we feel. You know, so Megan make it feel like, say, I'm that bad bitch. You know, say, I have a little rump, you know, pound one honey, you know, say, you jiggle your ass on the next. I really have fun. And that's the same level of cadence and vibe where Cardi B give you. And even though I'm not a Barty gang, I have to give it up to Cardi B. Like, when that bitch go out and when that bitch say, yes, I'm here, I came to motherfucking slay, and I'm gonna pop this motherfucking pussy. Like, I'm here for that. You know, because at the end of the day, I respect what the female rap girls are doing right now. And as much as, you know, I am a huge barb, you know, Nicki Minaj is the blueprint. She is the queen and will forever be the queen. I have to allow other female rap artists to have that space to grow and, you know, to be themselves and to command that respect that a lot of male rappers, you know, command as well. So I'm never going to be in a space where I'm going to fight on Cardi B. And I'm actually here for the Megan and Cardi collab because I know that it's going to be good. I wish them all the success that I'm going to get. I know it's going to go number one, and that is great for both Cardi and Megan. And when it drop, bitch, I'm going to fucking stream that shit. That's all I have to say on the matter.
Okay, so what I was saying before is Atlantic and 1501, they're a partnership, and that's where the collab came about. Sure. And where that's where what came about? They came about through their labels and not because, guess what? Okay, they're cool or whatever. So I know that these Barbies were buzzing about this entire situation, but it's a lucrative deal and not because they're friends or want whatever situation. That's what I was
gonna say. You need to really understand is that it's not so black and white. You can't expect an artist to pick between Cardi and Nicki. And I feel like that's where I disagree with the Barbs. And Barty gangs feel the same way as well. Let's be honest. A lot of the Barty gangs were former Barbs. Let's not forget that. Okay? And that's why them probably go so hard for Cardi B, because them probably... I think that the Barty gangs were probably the Barbs who might necessarily feel like some of them outgrow Nicki and probably want more diversity in the rap game. I say, okay, Cardi B, have a little buzz. So them jump ship, gone over to the Cardi B side. I know a rep fishy, and you know I try shit on Nicki Minaj, and that is the vibe that I'm getting from a lot of these.
I'm sorry, but I disagree with you. Half of them people over there that's being Barbs were never fans of Nicki Minaj. Let me just say that, because I've known a few people that listen, most of the people I know that represent the entire Barty gang or will ride or die Barty gang, they were never fans of Nicki in the first place. That's why when this other new female came in, they were already in that corner of saying, okay, we're searching for somebody. So they were not Barty yet. They were not Barbs. Most of the people over there were not Barbs. Just letting you know that. Because there is no way I'm going to be a Barb and then all of a sudden this new bitch jump out of nowhere and I'm going to be like, oh yeah, I'm representing her. I'm a part of her fan base. Hell no. I have to, listen.
Because there's the perfect example that I want to list is we mentioned Ravi before, and Ravi was a Barb and then Ravi jumped ship and gone over to Barty Gang. So
hell no, that dude has never listen, I can stand on my two toes and tell you that guy was never a bar.
Please, and I just know me know Robbie, let me try and make you know that. And I just know, he might have never publicly proclaimed it, but Robbie was a bar, may I tell you that.
Anyways, I know several people that were never barbs. Never.
Listen.
And they don't represent that.
With you, listen, let's just move on to the next topic and then we can talk about the real meat of the matter of the situation. I want to talk about the Beirut bombing that happened yesterday. Shane, do you have any information on that?
The Lebanon situation? Oh my God.
Speak up, Shane.
I'm saying that Lebanon situation... too much. It is really a lot to see. Like, dozens have been confirmed, lost their lives, and there is thousands that are seriously injured, and it's stressful. I don't know. But they're still trying to figure out what exactly caused the bombing, so the investigation is still ongoing. But the capital is, like, more than 70 have been confirmed dead so far. By the Ministry of Health, and 4,000 quoted has suffered injuries from the explosion. So
CNN has they put out some updates on it, and what they're saying is that, you know, at least 135 persons were killed and about 5,000 persons were wounded in a massive explosion that shook Beirut. Now, they're saying that there's still hundreds that have been reporting missing. So there's a possibility that the death toll might actually go up.
And yeah, because mine was quoted by the New York Times. That was yesterday, though. But yeah, that is what they reported yesterday. So it may have gone up to D by a lot. Mm-hmm. But luckily enough, there are other cities in Lebanon that have dispatched. So like the Lebanese Red Cross and South Lebanon and North Lebanon has sent somewhat help as much as they can to go help out Bruit at this moment.
But what may I try?
So was it what I'm trying to find out, since you both know so much more, was it a bombing or was it a plant explosion?
It was a plant explosion,
but they're still trying to find the cause, if it was an actual bombing necessarily. I don't know why they quoted that, but that is what they're saying. But honestly, you know, I think it was
I heard that it was some nuclear plant that exploded, but there was like nuclear waste that was stored there over years that was in there. So they are not sure if somebody set it off or it exploded it on its own.
Honestly, if they're storing it, it may just be like just a reaction. It doesn't necessarily need somebody.
It could be because, guys, them have over 2,750 metric tons of explosive ammonia and nitrate put on in a fucking plant
So it could just be that all of it just went boom. Finally, just everything just triggered.
I think it's negligence why all of this happened, but them still at the investigation.
First of all, there was a simple explosion firstly, and then afterwards everything went haywire. So in my mind, I was like, oh shit, like somebody set off a bomb and then it just had a chain reaction and made everything else blow up in.
Yeah.
That's what they're not sure about.
The whole entire city was shook because I've watched different videos from different angles. There was a dude that was literally in his building videoing the whole thing, and he had to run, duck, and cover when the second explosion went off.
Yeah, my heart goes up.
But I don't know if you guys know this. But you know that in 2005, like the prime minister was bombed, an explosion that killed him in 2005. Like, the entire building that he was in was blown up by somebody.
In Lebanon?
And that's what, in 2005, the prime minister. That's what everybody was concerned about, if this was another attack in Lebanon.
It's funny that you said that, because there was also some Bangladeshi officials that were actually in Beirut at the time. And several of them got killed and a lot more were injured. So I don't want to say that it could be a potential terrorist situation, because we don't know the facts. We don't know exactly what it is. We don't know if it's a terrorist attack. We don't know if it could be negligence that caused it. Because I don't really understand how you can have explosive ammonium nitrate just put on so unattended for so much year, just a build. You know what I mean? Because if you have a nuclear plant like that, I feel like the necessary steps should have been taken to handle those type of explosive material to make sure they do not collide and cause some type of major explosion.
Look at it this way: if it is negligence, there are a lot of companies that have negligent policies that they just, if it doesn't bother them directly, they just ignore it altogether. Where they release waste, whether is it into a lake or whatever, there's a lot of companies that are negligent. So it is what it is.
I cannot. That doesn't sit well with me, saying that it is what it is. I feel like these particular plans should. If you know, say, you handle them type of the necessary caution, safety procedures should be dealt with, because of people life you deal with. You know what I mean? People, they're on them type of something. Yeah, understand what I mean? So if, like,
Yeah, I get you.
So it's not about a situation, but it is what it is. No, it's not like that. Because in, you know what's going to happen right now? The same company, they are probably going to get suits, lawsuits upon lawsuits upon lawsuits upon lawsuits because of hundreds of people dead. You know what I mean? And it looked badly upon the country, and it looked bad upon the actual nuclear plant and the company where actually take care of the particular plant there. So it's not a situation about it is what it is. It's really bad, and my heart and prayers goes out for the, you know, the families of the person that were lost, and you know, we just want to keep them in prayers. So this brings me, before we move on, you know, just want to talk about quickly, we can't pronounce his name, but I think it's, yeah, those are Tanar's name.
No, Sarnaev, so, the T is silent.
Oh, Sarnaev, okay, thanks Shane. So yeah, he basically narrowly escaped the death penalty.
Well,
for the bombing, you know, the Manhattan bombing that took place back in 2013, you know, just to give you a little like back, you know, just bring us back a little bit, like in 2013, remember they were having the Boston March
and marathon. Which march are you talking about? It's a marathon.
And that's in Chicago, not in Manhattan.
Manhattan.
But continue.
Boston, Manhattan.
No. Robin, continue. I'ma leave you. Go ahead. Cause you don't like nobody to correct you. Go ahead.
It's not that I don't like to be corrected, but I mean March. Marathon is the same goddamn thing because
no, they're different. Marches, Robin, stop. March, you need to allow people to correct you. They're different. And Manhattan is in New York. It's in Chicago. Boston is in Chicago. It's a Boston March in Chicago. Allow people to correct you. Go ahead.
Boston is not in Chicago.
Oh my God. Robin, go ahead.
But anyways, I'll get into that information. If any correction needs to be done at a later time, I will publicly admit to that. But for now, you know, it was trending yesterday because Trump was, you know, really, really upset over the fact say him not get the death penalty because the jury, they actually request death penalty for the man. But the judge send it back to the lower courts because, as I said, there's a potential of something not being done correctly. You know, the lower courts, maybe they're saying that, you know, it wasn't impartial, I guess. So they must send it back to the lower courts for them to review it again and probably do a retrial. At the sentence right now, him still I get life imprisonment without parole or without release, but I'm going to send it back to the lower judge for them to redo it just to see if the jury was impartial with selecting the death penalty.
This whole situation in America with jurors are biased. Let me just say
that's what because back. Them just want to make sure say the result were not biased.
And I'm telling you, it was because guess what? First thing, because I went back and I was reviewing it last night after we talked, mm-hmm. and a few things that came out to me was most of them, they were of knowledge of what really happened. When you're selecting jurors, you cannot have jury who are face value of what to experience of what the case is. Go ahead, Shane.
The jurors would necessarily have to be unbiased when they were choosing them, but I don't think they would be unbiased in this kind of situation.
I don't think so. It was so.
But well, they need that. That's what it's supposed to be. Yeah. You cannot have. You cannot have somebody who is say, okay, that person is a cop killer, and then you're gonna put a cop on the jury to be a jury of his peers. No, that is so goddamn. That is past bias. You know that the police department, they're gonna send that somebody they got jail. No, if no, but no, maybe both.
But my whole stance on this thing, considering that the eldest brother did die, and Sir Zokar is still in prison, I feel the death penalty is literally way too easy for him.
Right, but I don't want him to live off of my money, sir.
Fair enough. We do not want him to live off the taxpayer's money. But I'm saying, giving him the death penalty is such an easy way out, because most of these bombers necessarily, where they thought they were like, you know, I'm going to go home. Depending on the culture, some bombers would think that, yeah, I'm going to die. I'm going to go to heaven and live with my 40 virgin woman.
Mm-hmm. So I'm like, and it's that mentality. I've never met anybody with mentality like that before, but I've met somebody with a mentality like that. And I've talked to them firsthand, and listen to me. Their religion is very much, very, very much secret and very serious to them. So when you say stuff like that to them, they take it really offensive.
No, I'm not saying not saying these perpetrators were necessarily a part of that religion. I'm just saying that whatever intentions they have, if it was to kill them and themselves and the marathon runners, and it did not go well, because these were makeshift bombs. I didn't even know these people were that good to make pressure cooker bombs necessarily.
Really? Once you go to engineering school, you know how to do it.
I've seen shows on it and YouTube videos on it, but I didn't necessarily think somebody would actually pull this up, but I'm saying overall,
really?
Trump is pissed, which is valid. His feelings are valid. Like, he doesn't want anybody to the taxpayers' money, especially somebody's not necessarily that was grown up to be a U.S. citizen. He's gonna have issues. But I'm saying overall, I think the death penalty, it would be a cop-out for him.
Listen, I can't believe that I am actually agreeing with Donald Trump, but I agree with the death penalty. I feel like, say, yes, get rid of him. Get rid of him. Send him to him death bed.
Unfortunately, I don't agree with any of you. You know why I don't agree? They need to send him to jail in Alabama so he can go and work in the fields planting potatoes and doing some stuff to work his debt off.
What debt?
Which
no,
will
he doesn't have,
until
he's not
he's,
pay.
No, until he's dead. That would be his debt. His debt is to work until he dies. But unfortunately, I don't even want to say that word. The man who is running the country now thinks that once you're not from here, you were not born here, even if you're born here, but you do not look a certain kind of way from here, you deserve to die or go back home.
But
so that's why I don't agree.
But look at the statistics.
But I don't necessarily.
But here's what I'm saying. Look at the statistics of this now. You're going to send him out to Alabama. There's so many ways for him to either kill himself or get killed. Because of that, all he has to do.
Who told
all
you
he
that?
Has to do is like run.
Have
off.
You ever listen? No, listen, Kane. Have you ever watched the video? Have you ever watched a Netflix documentary about going to prison in Alabama? There's several on there. Just look at 13. That's the first one you need to watch. You cannot escape and you cannot kill yourself down in Alabama.
Well, if it's that well guarded, I'm all for sending him to Alabama.
Stan, what do you think? Well, hold on. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard anybody escaping from prison in Alabama?
I don't keep up with those statistics, so no. I don't know of that.
Okay, go watch some Netflix documentary and come back. Go again.
Schooling, yeah.
Robin, you know me and you up in that. Go again, Shane.
That is true. And I feel like
if it's that secure,
investment judiciary and really be aware of the judicial system where America have and how them really treat prisoners of some of them state prisons here, because some of them is not.
We need to review a few of them that we have watched. Probably. Those kind of documentaries. Yep. Like the 13, the one with the people in Philadelphia. What was that one called? With the woman who perpetrate everything, the break into the bank and killing the man, blowing the man head off. We need to review them on one day because those are really, really good documentaries.
One of the most
Gabriel, the trial of Gabriel's really good too.
Oh, Gabriel Hernandez.
I'm telling you. Yes. Yeah. They're really good. And I remember one that I watched that was not really good. That was Aaron, what was his last name? Hernandez. That one, they bought that. Netflix bought the entire thing out. I did not appreciate how they showed him in that. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm not getting into all of that. But yes, we're just going to flip the script a little bit. Andrew Olness as put out a statement. I don't know if everybody's aware of this, but Robin is going to go ahead and give us a backstory on the entire situation. Robin, that's where you're from. So give us the entire situation on what's going on with the school, the statement from the Prime Minister, and we'll chime in.
All right. So just a little backstory. So back in 2018, Kenningstown Primary School had barred Dale's Burgos daughter from actually going to school, saying that her locks was unhygienic and was not adhering to the school's, I would say, proper grooming rules. And so, you know, them didn't want the picnic to come at the school. So basically it reached the trial and they had actually got an injunction so that the child could still go to school while everything was being processed in the court. So it's been 2 years and the judge literally ruled in favor of the primary school, stating that the constitutional rights of the child was not breached and that the school has the right to stop the child from attending the school based on the context of her hair. Like, in order for she to go to school, her hair have to cut, properly groomed in a way that the school requires.
But so, you can't blame the school for what they think.
I'm sorry, what?
I'm saying you can't necessarily blame the school for their practices or beliefs because...
That was a rule of the school. Hello?
Yeah, I'm hearing you. Continue.
Yeah, that was the rule of the school. So the judge basically ruled in favor of the school, saying that the child's rights were not breached. So it really was some controversy, controversy, because all of this basically come down literally a day before Emancipation Day, on a day where the country has celebrated freedom from slavery, the entire Caribbean, from the English Empire. And based on the social political economy that we're in right now, where everybody is so woke and more sensitive to, you know, racism and colorism. And if you see this happen to a Rastafarian group, because the father, I believe, is Rastafarian, right? And
The parents are both
Rastafarians. And to see this happen, it was really controversial and it caused a lot of uproar. A lot of persons were talking about it both on social media as well as news outlets. It eventually reached Andrew Holness and he did say, and I'm quoting, "In the present context, this government believes it is time to review and amend the Education Act to reflect a modern and culturally inclusive position that protects our children from being barred from any educational institution on the basis of wearing locks as an ordinary hairstyle, irrespective of religious reasons," end quote. And you know what is so funny? Let me just say this. I feel like that particular school is basically just projecting and carrying on colonialism from what the British had set, you know, the standards for how we're grooming are supposed to be. Because, you know, where I am from, Shannon, we never have that issues there. You know, like me go to basic school, me go to primary school, me go to high school, and I've been around North Rasta. So I was a bit shocked to see this information. I said, I'm actually barred the picnic from going to school just because she have locks in her hair. That it just seems so strange to me. Because, you know, in Westmoreland, you know, to me, Westmoreland has always been like this all-inclusive type of situation. I've been around Black, Black people, Chinese.
Because when I used to go to Mannings had a strict rule. No girl was allowed to leave their hair out. You always had to have it in a bun, catch like ponytail or something. You could not wear an afro and be you.
I don't know about like, I had a friend who was a Rasta that went to Mannings High. There's a community.
Right.
Westmoreland.
Get my school right. Mannings School.
Jane, I'm just saying from my perspective of what I've seen, because there's a community in Westmoreland, right? Where Petcom there, right? This song. There's a community close to there where a beer rasta over this song. Beer rasta. I mean, I tell you, so they pick them smart as hell. I think most of them pass to God Mannings, including the boys and the girls. So I've never like, yes, my understanding and Mannings in general have a policy where the on all schools, like they don't really like when females have wear them afro, or they either have to properly groom, cream, or braid it in a way that is natural and they're supposed to have no type of extension or something there. And yeah, of course, boys, hair length is supposed to reach a certain level, must always be low cut.
Unless you're a Rastafarian, where it's religious reasons.
Right.
You were
so, this new amendment, right? Persons are wondering if, based on that, we're going to see some crazy hairstyle. I go from a school where the boy them have a feel like, so they can grow them hair and have them quinoa.
So I don't think so. I don't think what his statement was trying to say is, if you have luck here, you should not be exclusive for an education. Basically, yeah. He's not saying go out and do outrageous stuff and then come to school. Mm-hmm. There's still rules. The rules for the school still applies. Yeah. Yes, but based on some information, this is not a joke, Robin. It's not funny. I don't think it is funny at all, because a lot of people died based on some information. And my father has luck here. And for over years of talking to him about stuff and growing up with that Rastafarian root in me, and I've known certain stuff about what happened to people back in the early 70s or early 80s, it was not nice. People with luck here could not even live down. Listen, there. So now seeing where people are coming from.
My older brother was and still is a Rastafarian. The only reason why I'm cutting hair right now is because I feel like his hair was so long to the point where it was kind of like, it's kind of like breaking like his edges and stuff like that, because it is so long and so heavy. So I'm really and truly happy cutting here, but he's still a practicing Rastafarian. So I'm used to that culture, because as something women grew on, as something women know very deeply. So I would never at no point in my life take this situation lightly. But what I was laughing at is not about the whole Rastafarian situation, but just thinking of, you know, when they
really truly amend the Education Act to make it more modern. We have a thing like, say, oh, Jamaica, look at why them from down the road, I could just feel like them can't grow them here and kid rate and feel like them can't come to school any which way. Because let's be honest, there is a possibility where that might potentially happen. And that was what I was really laughing at. Not persecution that has happened for Rastafarian, because we all remember the Coral Garden situation. I will not forget that situation. And Jamaicans as a whole should not, as much as how the government and how we culture try repress it and suppress it and try to make it forget, I'm not going to forget.
But honestly, this new generation is a little bit too much sometimes, where I do agree with Chinas. I agree with Robin. Some are going to go out of the box and try to be that different person that goes with this crazy ass hairstyle, and I'm like, it's not going to be necessary, but they're going to do it. They are.
No. I disagree. I feel like this generation has to be radical. We have to be serious about what we want in order to effect change in our society and in our government, because we allow the older people them to continue to perpetrate and project the old system that we've had for decades upon decades. And I feel like it's time for that to change. Okay. And who...
Robin. Hold on, Shane. Robin, he just said he agreed with you. You need to stop and listen. What he was saying was, I agree with what you're saying, and I understand what you're saying. But anyways, we're going to move on. Thank you for that.
I'm very passionate when I'm talking about this, because, you know, I'm the type of person who...
I know how you are, Robin. I know how you are, but our listeners might not. So I'm just letting you know. We get you over here, girl. We understand you. So we're going to go into the relationship part of a segment. Relationship red flags. You know, we have to talk about this again. And we are going to start with Robin. So, Robin, what are healthy relationships? And, some red flags. Ages have anything to do with red flags in a relationship? How does a healthy relationship works with an age younger or older or in between? Or how does it work? What do you think?
You know, this is such a very big topic, and it has so many layers to it, because I am seeing where persons are so sensitive now to like age and age differences, because people are saying, oh, if someone is 16, weird that they're with someone who's probably 20.
Robin, you're echoing. So can we stop and start again?
Sure. We can take a look.
All right.
Be back with you guys.
So where's Shannon?
This is so surprising. Actually, we can't believe they actually reached us up before her. Shannon,
Chien,
that is so crazy.
I took it a little, like a couple seconds later.
So, while we're waiting on Shannon to get here, so we're going to talk about how to avoid toxic relationships, as well as identifying red flags, and really want to touch upon if age plays a role in cultivating a healthy relationship. Now, I'm gonna say this is a very broad topic, because
We should hold off on any discussions of that until Shannon gets on the call, so he can give his two cents when you do give your opinion and I do mine.
Yeah, but what are we going to talk about until Shannon gets here? Are we just gonna sit here and be silent? That is not the purpose of the show.
It is going to be a very broad topic in the 15 minutes.
Well, Shannon, you came here in the nick of time. Thank you so much for joining.
I hate you.
A minute and a couple seconds of me.
So, Shannon, the last week we had, you know, touched on the topic of how to avoid toxic relationships. Well, mainly we talked about identifying red flags. So, have you had any chance to think about certain red flags when I think of a relationship? Because you guys know me, like when it comes down to red flags, my cat is poorly.
Hold on. Robin, you're straying from the point, because what age are you now? Not your real age, but the age you tell people you are.
I am 23. Are you kidding me?
Three now?
Oh, yes. Wow. I thought you were 19 still.
No. I've grown.
So, what has age played a role in your relationships?
Well, all right, let's break it down, right? Because I feel like once you are of a consensual age, which in my mind is definitely 18, then it's whatever rocks your boat. You know what I mean? Like, because in this particular community, like, it come like, say, age not really mean nothing. It's literally just a number. And so, because, honest to God, I remember when I was 19, friend, I was with someone that was 47 at the time. Listen, don't judge me. Don't judge me.
Shane wants you to add him back.
Hold on.
But continue. Mm-hmm. When you were 19.
Mm-hmm. I was with someone who was 47. And listen.
How long did that relationship last for?
You know, it lasted a while. I think it was a year or so. But listen, there was a lot of things that was wrong that led to the deterioration of that particular relationship. But I must say that while... Hey, Shane. Thanks for joining again.
Continue, Robin. I can't with you.
Anyways, I was...
Where did Robin go?
He's still here. Just not hearing him.
Y'all are not hearing me? Oh my God.
Go ahead. We're hearing you now, Robin. Go ahead.
I'm just saying that was my first SD.
SD, you know.
Shane, what is your age limit in red flags?
That is so broad of a category where red flags are concerned. But anything below like 22 is like a no. At this point, anything below 22 is a no for me personally.
Let me just say this. I think one of the reasons why I was so caught up with that whole situation, Chip Shane and Shannon, is because of what was presented to me. You know, I was being offered things, I was being offered a good life, and I allowed myself to just become tempted by the opportunity of getting things from this seemingly older person who should have known better than to try to groom. Because listen, at 19, if you've never been with somebody where you're 47, it's definitely grooming. You know what I mean? I should have been with someone at that stage in my life, with someone in my age group. And that is what I'm saying. And this is to me saying this out there as a person that are listening. Like, don't do it. Don't be with someone who can be your father.
My God.
Robin.
It's not worth it.
No, but I'm saying, didn't that situation give you some experience and knowledge that you did not have when you were that age? Like, didn't it give you some perspective on life? No.
It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter.
You give us like experience we would not have any other way.
No, that's not what I'm saying, Chin. What I'm saying is we're talking about mental capacity and being with someone that is in our own age group is definitely much safer and better than someone who could potentially be mad. That just seems wrong. It doesn't mean I'm grinding with my mother or my father. That just wrong.
But there are people that have bigger age gaps that are very comfortable in their relationship.
If I was 30 and dating somebody who was 50, fine, no problem, because you want to know why we are both adults. Being at 19 and dating someone who's 45, I'm not a fully adult. I'm not old enough to grasp adulthood enough to understand certain things. So that's what I'm saying. That is just wrong.
Enough to be my father, but is young and they're like 60 odd and they have boyfriends who are in their 19, 20 years, and some of them are even engaged or married. So
you are okay with a 19-year-old dating a 60-year-old?
It's not my life to live for them. They're comfortable. They found somebody. They're probably into more mature. Some people have those things that they're into more mature people. They're into older age.
You're saying that you don't give a fuck. It's their life. That's what you were saying. You're not looking at the morality of it. You're just saying it's their life, so they should do what they're. That's your take on it, right?
No, I'm saying one's preference is their own. You cannot say certain things for somebody else. That's what I'm saying. Their preferences are their own. So if they choose to want to not engage with younger individuals at certain points in their life, because I was in high school with girls who said, "Me no want no school boy, cause they not have no money. They can't match me." Literal words from their mouths.
I had that same.
Married men or people that could give them money depending on status, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
My take on all of this is why school girls would say that, because I remember when I was in high school, I had a friend, she only dated school boys for the status, but she always had an older man who took care of her. When you're from a background where you know your mom or your dad is not in the picture, or your mom is not able to give you all that you want, you are gonna go out there and try to get it from somebody. The boys who are going to school is only able to buy you lunch at school. They're not able to buy you movie tickets to go to the movies when your friends are going to movies. Buy clothes.
We do want more than one kid from the school to
me. Right. So in fact, is they are going out there and searching for what they're not able to get from their parents, what they can get from an older man who is able to provide it to them. And there was nothing wrong with that. I supported that back then, and I support it now, as long as they don't get pregnant.
Listen, I still think that it is wrong.
Girl, let me tell you something. Anything floats your boat, that's what you're going to use to rock it. You cannot say it is wrong or right, because your situation might be wrong to you, but back then, looking at it, it was so perfect to you. So guess what? Because you are much more older and maturer than you were back then, and you realize that what you did know was wrong back then, but back then to you, it was a perfect relationship and you were getting what you wanted. So don't come out now and try to flip the script and be like, "Oh, it was wrong for him to do me like that. He played me, whatever, whatever." You know what you were doing. You were 19 and
you believe you were grown.
Yes.
Hold on, people. I am not saying that I was innocent in the whole situation, because...
Well, that's what I got from you.
No. I'm not saying that I'm innocent of the situation.
But You were putting more the blame on the person that you were.
Right, right.
Of course, I'm putting the blame
on
the
person.
No, you made a conscious You cannot put the blame on somebody else. You made the conscious decision as well to go into this relationship. You were 19 and you were not necessarily grown or mature or whatever, but you made a conscious decision and you stuck with it. Now that you have lived through certain experiences, you are going to put blame on him. That is not
right. Yes, Shane, you bingoed. Yes.
Of course I'm going to put the blame. Because you want to know why? Because this person should have the decency and the sense of morality to understand that, hey, this person is literally young enough to be your child. Like, date your own fucking age group and leave these
let me go back to a conversation we were having yesterday where you said somebody apologized for all the wrong they did you. They're not much older now.
Irrelevant to this conversation.
No, they're relevant because you're not putting any blame on them. You are like, oh yes, I do understand where they're coming from. Blah, 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 blah.
I want to go there. Listen to me. Because I can go there too.
Okay? Shut up.
Listen,
Robin.
No. Since you want to go there,
okay, go ahead.
Let's fucking go there.
Okay, go ahead.
I feel like that particular situation is in no way correlating to this particular conversation that we're having now, because one, we were in the same age gap. Okay, they may have been a couple years older than I was, but we were still within the same age gap. Two, I feel like what happened and what led to the deterioration of our relationship, they are definitely within their rights to understand and to finally admit that, hey, I fucked up. I should have done things better. And I am mature enough to admit where I went wrong and admitting that. And, you know, putting out the olive branch to say, hey, let's rebuild a friendship, even though the relationship that we had was really toxic and really fucked up. Let's start over, make it platonic, and just grow as friends. And I have no issues with that, because when I have time to sit down and I hold on to certain grudges, I get over that, I move past it, I move on with my life, and I've forgiven this person. So what you want to say, you bring that as an insult to me, and again, no correlation to the conversation that we're having.
No, what I'm trying to make a valid point.
There's no valid point that you're trying to make.
Answer my question, it's a yes or no. Did the older person when you were 19 did you wrong?
Of course. So many wrong.
Did the person that you were just discussing a while ago did you wrong as well?
Yes.
So why is it you're more understanding of the wrongs that that person did than the one that happened when you were 19? What is the difference?
The difference is that person was literally grooming me. This person was an old-ass person.
A sin is a sin. None is bigger than none. He wronged you. Both wronged you. None of them should be.
No. There's levels to that shit, and that is two different situations. All
right. Let me chime in right here. Robin, I don't know why you tend to do this, but you tend to put your own foot in your own mouth. Because first thing first, what Shane is saying, he made a point. He's right.
Oh my gosh, there's no point that is being made. He's basically comparing two different situations. Me and Tabo.
Yes, Robin. Two different situations, two different people did you the same thing. That's the point you're making. not the situation that, guess what, okay, whatever, but there are two different people that did the same thing to you. One may be an age different and one may be not that far from your age, but they did the same thing. Why are you able to forgive this person but not that person? What's the difference? That's what I'm trying to find out.
Listen, Shane, you're still attack two different situations.
Oh my god!
Why am I the only one getting attacked here? And I'm just backing you. Why am I the only one getting attacked here? Nobody understands why.
Robin, you know what? Robin, Shane. What is your take on all of this? Tell me what you think about the Robin situation, what's happening, so I can
make my point valid that I don't understand why they were so forgiving of one and not the other. But I'm going to say this. I don't care what people's preference are. If this person was older and like 90-year-old, I may not agree with it, but it's a preference. Because there's 19-year-olds.
That doesn't sit right with me. That doesn't sit. Okay. All right.
Yes, I agree.
Robin, allow Shane to finish. Allow Shane to finish, please.
His preferences or fetishes or whatever category it wants to fall under, I may not agree with it. But at certain points, we must. I'm not saying accept it, but I don't know how to put it. I guess I'm understanding necessarily, but I may not agree with it. I understand it. Not agree.
What I get from it is that Robin is saying that older and where I am now looks really awkward and weird, and he might take advantage of me, but Robin is not telling us what he got from the person, because both times, 9 times out of 10, a 19-year-old dating a 43-year-old must be getting something. So is he that I'm getting money, sweets, he's taking me places, he's doing stuff for me. It's why I'm sticking in the whole situation of why he is able to forgive this person and not that person. They might be older in age, but they did the same thing to you. They both manipulated and used you, but you do not see that, because guess what, you are more understandable with this person than with the other, and that's the problem you're having. You need to differentiate.
The deepest connection he's had in a relationship, so
that's right. That's why he's able to forgive that person so fast and push that under the ground and move on. You are right.
Stop. I'm not liking that right now.
Robin, we are. Listen, no, Robin, we are here for our honest opinion, and if we're going to be giving our opinion and you're not going to enjoy giving our opinion, then bad, because it's the truth. The truth is the truth. You want to shadow you?
You're not allowing me to say what I have to say. Listen.
Go ahead.
What I'm saying is, right, I'm not, and I made this very clear earlier in the conversation, that at no point was I ever innocent. And I'm not saying that I have this agenda or this type of vengeance against the person. No, I'm not saying that. But what I'm trying to explain is that at 19, I wasn't of the mindset where I was fully adult, and I actually did allow myself to be manipulated because of what was being offered to me. And that particular person is so wrong in the sense that they use, I would say, the things that they had to like tempt me and to bring me in, and that is wrong, because that is grooming a younger, way younger person than me. And of course, if I'm in a situation where I want things in life, then of course it means the opportunity to reach before me. Never take it, regardless of the situation.
Robin, you know why me disagree with you? Because basically what you're trying to say is, all right, let me say this. Let me use me. I've done what you are just accusing that person of. I use my power before to get stuff from people, have used my privilege to get stuff from people. They have benefited from me, but I've dangled stuff in front of people to get what I want from them. I've done that before. What I'm trying to say to you, Robin, is that it's a part of the whole game of hunting. Is either you're going to be the hunter or you are going to be hunting. So is that it's a part of the game.
Are saying to me is that it is probably okay for that person to have predatory actions.
Robin, that's not a predatory. Robin, that is not a predatory. Listen, you're not, I'm just, Robin, that's not a predatory. That is, listen, that is him hunting. That's how he hunts.
No, but that is
different. No, it's not. Robin, it is not. You allowed yourself to be played, and that's why I feel like you feel some type of way about
no,
it. Because if you
is very predatory, and person should not.
No, it is not, Robin. It is not. I know that if you were the one doing the opposite of you taking advantage of a 46-year-old person, you would not have seen it that way. And I know male and female who are using older men now to gain what they want and to gain stuff from them. So not because you feel like what you wanted and what he had, you wanted it. You wanted to take his stuff. And but what? Because he gained something from you and you didn't gain anything from him? That's why the problem? No, Robin, you have to look at it both ways. You're just looking at it as, oh, he did me wrong because he's a predator. No, he's not a predator. He's a hunter.
Wow.
You allowed him to play you, and so you now feel like you're a loser, and because you... Listen, there are so many different ways to look at this situation.
Wow.
Because I've done it before. I'm not gonna put myself out there, but I've done it before. I dangled stuff in front of people to get what I want, but it works. So guess what? I'm gonna keep doing it.
You know what?
I'm a hunter.
I'm going to put it out. Let our listeners let's have their opinions. I'm gonna ask, do you think like a 47-year-old grooming and dating a 19-year-old is a predatory behavior or not? And we will see what they think. Okay. Since you are saying that it is not
predatory, I will agree with them.
Listen, I can't believe I'm hearing this right now.
If they're going,
what do you mean? You can't believe you're hearing this, Robin. You got played, and that's fine. Just admit it. He had something I want, and guess what? I ended up getting played.
Predatorial, but not wrong in a sense. I do agree with Robin.
Shane, let me say this. You know why I don't feel like it is predatorial? Because Robin wanted something from he knew what he was getting into. He knew what he wanted from the relationship at the time. But now, since he's older, he just felt like, oh, I didn't gain a lot, so guess what? It's predatorial. No! The man is a hunter. That's how he goes about looking at people. I don't see that's predatorial. I'm sorry. Maybe that's my mistake.
I'm done having this conversation. I'm completely disappointed in your point of view. But you know what? For this program,
Robin, that's fine, because guess what? We disagree to agree all the time. So we're not always on the same page.
Definitely.
The only time we're on the same page is if somebody's getting into a fight. You know, we're on the same page then, but not everything.
But you know what? This conversation was so I must say, you know where you stand, that you don't agree that older persons dating younger persons who don't necessarily have the capacity to be at that mature stage in their life, you don't see as being predatory. So I feel you.
Robin, a lot of people don't like to date a younger person because they're not mature enough to date. Because guess what? All right, this is a privy fact that males do not hit maturity. Males do not hit maturity until they're 27. They don't know what they want. They don't know where they're going. 95% of males don't have an idea of what to do in their day-to-day.
And that is the reason why they should not be dating a person who's old enough to be their
fair enough. We've heard all we can hear for this segment. You guys used up enough. Time to move on.
All right, Robin, end the show. Robin, you go first. Shane, get what I'm saying? Robin.
But that is all the time we have for that segment. Now we're moving on to the charts.
You know what? You're right.
Robin, what do you have to say to our listeners?
We have reached a point where we do have to cut this conversation. And you know what, Shannon? I'm going to bring this right back on the motherfucking kit next week. Okay. This conversation is not finished. Alright. So next week we're going to continue the discussion. Do you have anything that you want to add or say before we end this this program right now?
We are not going to
love and light, people. Always love and light. Go ahead, Shane.
Are we gonna discuss the top charts?
No,
that's next week. Next week we're gonna come fully loaded. We're gonna go straight into pop culture, the music of the week, top songs, top albums, what we listened to for the past month that was good, and what's coming, what we're looking forward to. The releases on Friday and the releases for all of this week. We're coming with something brand new with Music Edition, and we'll be pulling out a whole list of stuff. That's for next week, though. Okay. But come back and enjoy it with us.
All right. Thank you, guys. It's been so great again. As always, the conversation is always hot, always spicy, always heated. And as I say, this conversation, this topic is not finished. We're going to be coming back next week fully loaded to discuss this. So, listeners, thanks again for joining us and staying with us once again. And we'll definitely see you on the next one. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.